Revelation chapter 14, here we go. I want to cover the first 13 verses. We'll get through as many as possible of the 13 tonight. Hopefully we'll be interrupted by the rapture. And then I think Jesus will be waiting at the pearly gates there to straighten me out on everything I taught about the book of Revelation. But anyway, Revelation chapter 14, verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Read the first 13 verses. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new psalm before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which followed the Lamb. Oh, wouldn't it be good if this could be said of all of us? Followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Verse 9, and the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and they and their works do follow them. Heavenly Father, what an astounding series of announcements here. Unique messengers, unique messages. And I pray, Lord, as we cover these tonight, Lord, that you would help me to, Lord, just use the time wisely and bring us what we need to hear tonight. Stir us about these things, Lord. Stir us in our heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I find seven angels in chapter number 14. I've written a number beside each verse so that you can count down with me. Beside verse number 2, we hear the voice of the very first angel. It doesn't say it's an angel, but if you look at verse number 6, it says, and I saw another angel. And so number 1, angel number 1, verse number 2, angel number 2, verse number 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. And then in verse number 8, and there followed another angel. So verse number 8, number 3. And then verse number 9 says, and the third angel. You say, preacher, it says the third angel. You're having us put a number 4 beside it. Well, that's not counting the voice of the first angel. It's counting the three angels that have now appeared since then. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice. Verse number 15, and another angel came out of the temple. So number 5 by verse number 15, number 6 by verse number 17, and another angel came out of the temple. And then verse number 18, you can write a number 7, and another angel came out from the altar. So what are angels? Angels are messengers. If you look up the word in its purest sense, purest form, you'll find the word messenger appears before anything else appears. Is a messenger. So we see seven messengers. Again, a number 1 by verse 2, a number 2 by verse 6, a number 3 by verse 8, number 4 by verse 9, a number 5 by verse 15, number 6 by verse 17, number 7 by verse 17. So here we are on the halfway point. As we've said, several chapters kind of stop. It's kind of almost like the halftime of a football game. And all of a sudden we have a stoppage in the action. And several chapters now are just giving us information. Well, in this chapter, 7 messengers are sent to give 7 messages. And so we'll take a look at those 7 angels over the course of maybe the next couple weeks. I don't know what I'll do next Wednesday night for sure. We're getting awful close to Christmas. I'd like to do some preaching and teaching on Christmas. I don't know. We'll see what I feel like you can handle. I hate to take you into the tribulation period, you know, on Christmas Eve and ruin everything for you. But I'm having a good time with this. I'm enjoying it. And so anyway, verse number 1, we see Jesus Christ, a lamb, capital L, stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their forehead. Mount Zion here is referencing heaven, or before the throne of God. We know that for sure, because later on, as they're singing this new song in verse 3, they're doing it before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. So now, all of a sudden, we're given information about what's going on in heaven. You know, like I said, the camera shifts from what's going on in heaven to what's going on earth and back and forth. And John is writing what he sees here. You'll notice that it mentions the 144,000 again. Now, when we were back in chapter number 7, we got some information about the 144,000. This was while they were on earth. Now we see them before the throne of God. And again, folks, I'm going to say this probably a couple times, and I have in the last few weeks, but this part of the tribulation period is going to be a time of great martyrdom. And I believe the 144,000 I'm going to tell you about, I believe every single one of them die for the cause of Christ. It says that they are the first redeemed. What that means, I believe, is they are the first ones that come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ after the rapture. And this is a unique group. I want you to think about this. Sometimes we're so distracted by the Jehovah Witnesses and their 144,000 lost doctrine that we forget that this isn't just a number, folks. These are real people that are uniquely prepared. And I want you to kind of think about that. As a matter of fact, before I describe them to you, let me throw it out there. Let's say that the rapture happens, 5 years from now. Okay, let's push it out 5 years. All right, and it happens 5 years from now. Do you realize that means that 144,000 Jewish men right now are walking on the face of this earth? I do not believe for one minute they know who they are yet. I don't think they know who each other is. Folks, there's 16.2 million Jews scattered across the globe, and I mean scattered around the globe. And I think God's going to uniquely work in 144,000 individual hearts who, when the rapture happens, is going to open the Bible and say, we missed the Messiah. And boy, when they get saved, folks, they get it all the way. They fully believe. It says that they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They're not just getting saved, and then hiding over here. And by the way, one of the things about the tribulation period, there ain't going to be any middle ground anymore. There ain't going to be any more blending in. There ain't going to be any more playing church. I mean, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to serve God, you're going to die for it. And if you're going to take the mark, you're going to hell. There's going to be no middle ground anymore. You know, it's going to separate who is truly the believers and who truly embrace Christ. And I believe that group of people we're talking about, except for a small group of the remnant Jews that I think will be saved at the Battle of Armageddon, but most people that are saved during the tribulation period will die for their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you think about that. I mean, these 144,000 Jewish men right now could be across the face of the earth. You know, why do we support Jewish missions? Here's a thought I had. What if some of the Jews that we are seeing saved by supporting Jewish missions end up, you know, being an influence? Maybe they're not going to be the ones that are going to be raptured out, but being an influence on a brother or an uncle or a cousin, or a husband. And then all of a sudden the rapture happens. I'm glad we support Jewish missions. And I don't know how all God's going to do it, but that made it kind of exciting to me when I thought, we keep saying
Well, we're at the door. Jesus is at the door and we're near the end. Well, that means some of this stuff's got to be in place right now, if that's true. So what do we know about the 144,000? Let me just summarize. We know that they're described in chapter 7 as the servants of God. We know that they're not their number, total number, 144,000. By the way, it won't be one more, one less. God has 100. We know that they are from 12 different tribes, 12,000 from each tribe. And by the way, the average Jewish person does not know what tribe they descended from. Those records have been lost. Very few Jews can emphatically tell you which tribe that they came from. Very few. But let me tell you something. God knows which tribe they came from, and he'll have exactly 12,000 from each tribe, all right? We know that they're going to receive a mark, their father's name written in their foreheads. And think about that. And that's back in chapter 7. Remember, before those vials were poured, that second wave of judgment came. You know what? All of a sudden, he stopped everything and said, okay, don't do that until we mark those in the forehead with a mark that protected them in heaven. Now, I believe that they're going to be martyred. I'm going to believe they're going to give their lives for their faith. But in heaven, we learn in this chapter, they'll sing a new song. And this song is a song that no other man can learn. So every once in a while in heaven, this 144,000 is going to break out in a song that we'll all stop and quiet and listen to, but not a one of us is going to be able to sing it. But you know what? God will hear it and God will understand it. It'll be special to them. And I think that's neat. And we know, according to verse 4, they are morally pure. We know that they are the first fruits of those who will be redeemed after the rapture. We know that they serve God faithfully, follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and sincerely, no guile is found in their mouth. So there's, like I said, there's no fakes in this bunch. They are true-hearted believers that are willing to give everything, understanding now in the Bible, their unique position, a unique opportunity. They're willing to, come on, love not their lives unto death, give everything for Christ, knowing where they are and what it's going to cost them. We know that their mission is to preach the gospel to those left behind. And so think about that. I thought I was excited about that. And that's the 144,000. No, they're not the best 144,000 of the Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't even know how they get some of this stuff. They probably, when they changed their Bible, put all the stuff in there so that it would read the way they want it, but like they've done everything else. Now, number two, the second angel in verse number 6 and 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Now, watch this. Here we go again. Isn't this amazing? So here we have an angel flying in the midst of heaven. And he has the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Now, again, this is going into the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And there is going to be a messenger sent from heaven preaching the gospel, come on, from the air, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And this message is going to be a message, number one, of hope and a message of warning. Verse 6 is hope, the everlasting gospel. Amen. Verse 7 is a warning. Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And so again, folks, I'm going to tell you, you know what God's doing? He's removing anybody's excuses. There's no one that's going to stand before the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment, and say, I was not given chance after chance after chance after chance. Even in the tribulation period, God sends this. In verse number 8, we see a third angel, angel number 3, and he announces the fall of Babylon. Now, folks, we're going to get into that in chapter 17. So that'll be an interesting study, by the way. But we see that he says his message is this: Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, I'll come back and visit this verse in connection with the deeper teaching in chapter 17 when we get to that. So that allows me to go to the fourth angel, verse number 9. And the third angel, and that's the third one after the first voice, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now again, there's no hiding. There's no middle ground. Okay, the everlasting gospel. Worship God, accept him, because the time of his wrath is here. Okay, now here's a warning to those that are still on the fence contemplating, should I do this? Should I not do this? Again, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about heaven or earthly consequences in the first part of verse number 10. Then we're going to switch to eternal consequences in the last part of 10 and verse number 11. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. And so we get the last 3.5 years, folks, there's going to be a very much a distinct line. Like I said, it's going to be a division. It's going to be a separation. You know what? If you embrace Christ, you embrace the gospel, you know what? And there's going to be people that have an opportunity to do so. I've said this many times, but I'm going to stop and say it again. I don't think it's going to be anybody that had the opportunity to hear the gospel and an opportunity to be saved before the rapture. But folks, there's a lot of people out there that have not had that opportunity, okay? And so, you know what? But if you do receive Christ, you are going to be killed for your faith, except for, like I said, for just a small remnant of Jewish people that are supernaturally protected because they read and obeyed what Jesus said in Matthew 27 when the Antichrist shows who he is. But you know, for the vast majority of people that get saved, you know what? They're going to suffer. And these 144,000 men, I was thinking about them a lot today. I thought to myself, you know what? Did some of our missionaries pass them on the street? There's a lot of Jews in America. Did some of us, maybe some of us had already passed one of them on the street, you know, but they're going to turn to Christ. They're going to be equipped. They're going to be sell out. But you know what? There's going to be a lot of people that's going to just make excuses and say, well, you know, come on, go along to get along. We're already being groomed for this, folks. Well, that's what the government says we have to do. And by the way, it's not 666. It's just this little mark. Remember I said it could be the image. It could be his name. It could be his number. And so I'm not having 666. And everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. You know, you can be programmed for this stuff. Come on. We are being programmed by this stuff. I stopped at Casey's. You know what? Folks, when people start carrying debit cards and stuff, you know what Jerry Ross was saying? I'm never going to do that. Why in the world would you just, what's wrong with cash? I'm never going to do it. Brother Isaac, I'm ashamed to admit. Here it is, public, a live stream all across America, you know, that I not only pulled out my card, I didn't even swipe it. I didn't insert it. I'm there, bro. I'm tapping now. I am tapping now. I started to insert it, and this young guy behind the counter says, you know, you don't have to do that. You can just tap it. I go, what are you talking about? He says, just smack it. So I went, okay. And all of a sudden, hair went up on the back of my neck, and I thought, man, did I just take the mark? You know, what did I just do there, you know? Now, before that goes all over across the country. All right, you're not worshiping the Antichrist by tapping your... But isn't it something, though? Come on. I'm not saying any of these things are necessarily bad. I'm saying that there's some things that is happening in our culture that is grooming us and preparing us and just making it the next step of something we've already... down a road we've already been led, and think that's interesting, you know. So the fourth angel sends this message out. Those who take the mark cannot say that they have been warned. They have been warned, all right? And so we have the fourth angel, a dire prediction here. Then in verse 12 and 13, again, we're going to talk about the death of the tribulation saints, and then we'll close her down for tonight. Verse 12 and 13, here is the patience of the saints. And we had a similar verse already we've read, and I don't have the reference in front of me, but it'll sound familiar. Here is the patience of the saints. And I think, again, these are encouragement verses that are going to be read by people in the middle of the tribulation period. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of
Jesus, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, notice this, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. I mean, this last 3.5, folks, they're going to be hunting them down and exterminating Christians. You know, I tell you that every single year I read at least one book on the Holocaust. I'm in the middle of, well, I'm not in the middle. I just finished it the other night. Matter of fact, it got towards the end. When I'm reading at night before I go to bed, sometimes when I get to towards the end of the book, I got to get to the end of the book. And my sister and me, we're there, right? And Lori's a reader. I'm a reader. And when I got done with the book, I looked up and it was 1:20 in the morning. 1:20, but I had to finish that book. And now I want you to think about this. By the way, there's a reason I do that. A couple of reasons. We ought to be reminded of just how evil, come on, folks, mankind can be, how demonic mankind can be. Now, the beast, he's working through, I believe, 10 key political leaders, okay? That's what I believe. I believe that's what the 10 horns represent. Now, I want you to think about this, because this thought occurred to me when I was reading that book. I'm reading about Hitler. I'm reading about that Nazi regime. And I'm reading about their determination to hunt out and identify and isolate and then eventually destroy and exterminate the Jewish race. Now, I want you to think about this. All the Christians are gone. And now there are people coming to Christ. And there's the Jews that the dragon now has declared war on. Okay? Now, wait a minute, folks. The United States of America and other countries stopped everything they were doing, and we sent in mass armies. Many of our young men didn't come home to stop Hitler from doing that. I think that's why World War II, you talk about a just cause, that had to be stopped. Okay? Now all of a sudden I want you to think about this. The 10 strongest political powers are run by 10 Hitlers. Who's going to stop them? Nobody. Well, Jesus will eventually. But for a time, it's going to be the 10 strongest political entities, the 10 strongest nations are going to be Hitler-like in their determination to find those who will not take the mark and have them executed and destroyed. I'm going to tell you something. That sends shivers up my spine, because the world will be turned over to evil. You know, after Jesus takes the Christians out, he's going to say, you know, you God rejectors didn't want me in your right. You know, put on the, you know, I'm not trying to use the sign to put people on a constant guilt trip, but every once in a while, something needs to be said. And I put on there, is there no room for Jesus in your Christmas? And you know, the honest truth is, for a lot of Americans, maybe the majority of Americans, they will have no room. I mean, at Christ's birthday, Christmas, they will not give 1 minute to come to a church, to come to a Christmas play, to come to a cantata, to stop and read the Christmas story. I mean, Jesus has just been regulated out of their lives. And so I was sitting there thinking about that as I'm reading that book. My goodness sakes, how in the world did the devil so get into a nation, so get into leadership, and so get into an army where they are building camps and they are literally gassing and exterminating them, using their relatives to pull the bodies out, take them over, and have them burnt. And all that's left of them is coming out of smokestacks. Okay, I'm going to tell you, folks, that's the tribulation period, only it isn't going to be one nation with all these other heroes coming to the rescue to stop it. It's going to be global. And the people that stand for Christ, you know what? There's a reason that 144,000, let me say this, they deserve to have their own song. But they embraced Christ with a full understanding of what had happened and what they're a part of and what they're going to have to pay to have it done. Awesome stuff. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we seek to understand better your word. Thank you for this incredible book. Wow. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd use it to stir something in our hearts, dear God. You're a gracious, merciful God. In the middle of all this mess,
you still send that angel to preach the everlasting gospel. 144,000, two witnesses. All we can do is say, Lord, thou art just. Thou art just. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd prepare our hearts, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name.